A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
JB looking business casual. On this Sunday evening.
As always, I'm about to frisbee some business cards your way.
Hell yeah, in a gingham shirt, two buttons undone, just taking his jacket off. We're ready to do the podcast. Let's get into it. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. After another top weekend of international rugby and the return of the Premiership, thank goodness. Although one day the LV Cup will return.
And I hope so.
That will be a great day.
Well, do you know what? The next LV Cup might be a great day because I reckon that's probably when you'll see the first ever start for Sam Burgess. Oh, Proposition B. Proposition B. Sorry, we're not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. No, don't talk about it until it happens. Yeah. The media are doing plenty of that. Right, we're here. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously, but we, much like you, because you're listening to this, we love rugby. I'm Tim. Phil is here.
Hi, Tim.
And JB is here as well.
Hello, Tim.
Why are you looking quite so smart?
Went to christening. So That was it.
Good.
Now, can I talk about a phone call that I had this week?
Is this rugby related?
Kind of. I think it needs to be addressed. Yeah, so I got a phone call on Thursday, Phil. And a phone call from someone who never, ever phones. And also never picks up his phone. So I look at my phone and, it's Tim Cocker. So, wow, I'll definitely take this. You know, as in with the client, walked out. Hi, Tim. And Tim goes, JB, you know I'm doing this new rugby programme, right? I'm like, yeah. Well, the guest hasn't showed up. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, looking for another guest. Yeah. So I just wanted to phone you to ask you what questions I could ask Blake. Why?
I didn't book the guests.
You're trying to wind you up.
Hang on. Let's get to the bottom of this. You didn't book the man who used to be on our podcast who no one else knows who plays rugby league. Okay.
So there's a guy... who did the first few episodes of the podcast back in the early days. And if you've been listening since then, thank you very much and well done. It's good to still have you on board. But yeah, I used him for a different rugby programme. I didn't book him. Someone on the phone.
That is an incredible coincidence.
No, it is. I heard someone on the phone going, okay, Blake. Okay, yeah, sure. And I went, is that Blake Mahovic? And they went, yeah. How do you know him? Oh, I used to do the podcast with me. So anyway. Sorry, Jay.
There you go.
I didn't use you as a guest for another rugby programme. A far inferior rugby programme, might I add. Where should we start? I know, let's start with Scotland, couple of weeks ago, Jay completely wrote off. What were you going to say, Phil?
I was going to say, if we're going to have another apology for Scotland, can we have one from you first, Tim? Because in your introduction, you overlooked the LV Cup action that happened this weekend.
Yes, you did.
What?
Because the Welsh teams played each other. Cardiff Blues played Scarlets and beat them 19-13.
Oh, wow.
And Ospreys lost 35-51 to the Dragons.
I'm terribly sorry to the organisers of the Premier Cup competition in rugby, the LV Cup. Completely didn't realise that.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Stand corrected.
Thanks, Tim.
Back to JB's apology to Scotland, who a couple of weeks ago he completely wrote off as a rugby nation. They lost.
I honestly thought rugby was dead in that country. But its cold, dead hand is slowly creaking out the coffin.
It's alive and kicking.
Coming back to life. Well, maybe. Who knows?
Blood is coursing through its veins.
Yeah. Well, the rugby corps, which is Scotland, has been snorting cocaine. And it looked crazy on Saturday. I'm honestly amazed. I thought they were worse than Italy at the start of the year. And now look at them. I think the biggest difference this week was Murrayfield actually had people in it.
Yeah.
It looked rocking.
Great atmosphere in Murrayfield, right from the start, right from the haka.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that, because the crowd, you're absolutely right. And the Haka for me is, other than the matches, it's my favourite thing about rugby. I remember as a kid just loving it. And I remember feeling, wow, what an intimidating, scary thing the Haka was.
Yeah.
I've made my views on the Haka very clear. I don't like it. I don't like the rules around it. You're not allowed to go within 10 metres of it anymore, or you get fined by the IRB. You're not allowed to respond to it, or they'll have a tantrum and do it in the change room. I just don't want them to do it.
Well, here in Murrayfield, during the Haka, and the All Blacks decided to do the, I think it's called Kapa Opanga or Kapa Oranga. One of the two. Anyway, it's the one where they do the little slit throat thing at the end.
This is the one, right, that Scott Johnson described as, what is it? It was unacceptable and threatening and should be banned in international sport.
Here is the Murrayfield crowd jeering it. It does sound like something from 300, that bit.
Yeah. I'd hate my voice to break now. Wow.
I mean, it's the ultimate curtain raiser to a rugby match.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I mean, there's some great spectacles, like when... who was it who's right in the New Zealand's face, the England hooker?
Richard Cockerell.
What was it, Cockerell?
Norm Hewitt. Cockerell's and Richard Cockerell, yeah.
Yeah, now that's really cool. I love that.
Ireland did it as well in the 90s.
But now they'd ban you and give you a fine. It's ludicrous. More rules.
When we watched the captain's run...
Oh, yeah, they did a little secret Haka.
The New Zealand captain's run that we kind of snuck into because we shouldn't really have been there.
The Chicago game against the USA. Yeah.
The first thing they did of the captain's run, as soon as everyone was out on the pitch, they did a warm-up Haka. They did like a practice.
They practiced everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which we weren't expecting it, but then we're like, of course. Yeah, they've got to practice it sometime.
Exactly. What I said, oh my God, they practice that. I just assume they're born and they know it.
Yeah, Louis Spence doing the choreography.
Yeah, do they sort of stop them and go, no, stick your tongue out just a bit more?
Yeah, and they probably hide it. Yeah, we're a professional setup, so we get the best people around the world. Dancing coach Louis Spence. Yeah.
Sonny Bill, more vava boom.
Len Goodman and Craig Revel Hallwood. Seven! Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. And well done, Scotland. It was a good effort. They came up short. And what's encouraging is that Scotland were disappointed at the end of that they didn't capitalise and get a victory.
Mm. Yeah, but it right until the last 10, 15 minutes, they were right in the game. They were exchanging penalties, and they were like 4 points, then 1 point, 4 points, then 1 point.
Vern Cotter. God damn. Must be an outstanding coach.
Mm.
Outstanding coach.
But also the baseline that they've got at Glasgow, because they've got a lot of like young, talented Glasgow players in that squad that are forming the base of it. I think it's the two things, like the prominence of Glasgow in the Rabo, or the Guinness Pro 12, yeah, and Fern Cotter coming in and kind of changing the coaching setup. Mm. It's all positive. It's really, really good for Scotland.
Radio 1 DJ and exceptional rugby coach. I think disappointment was probably the key word in terms of the home unions. I mean, let's just sort of say, you know, we know we have a lot of listeners in Ireland. Yeah, it was a sort of regulation victory against Georgia, who put up a fight for the first half, and then you know, the floodgates opened. So I hope you'll understand, Ireland, that this isn't the week where we focus on Ireland. But I think disappointment was the key word, because even though they got a win, Wales will just be frustrating. I watched that game, I double screened the England match. I had that on one screen and the Wales match with no commentary on a different screen. And it just looked frustrating, to be honest. The fact that there was a Mexican wave started after 45 minutes.
In the Wales game?
In the Wales game. I think it says everything.
Oh, God.
45 minutes in.
Weird, though. I like how the Welsh Autumn Internationals are going. Now, why would I say this? Because they will not be satisfied. The worst thing in the world for Wales is if they won all their games handily and then took their foot off the gas. I want them to be worried, and I want them to be frustrated. And coming to Six Nations firing, that's how I want it.
Possibly worried for England in the Six Nations, because Scotland are playing well.
Yeah.
Ireland are playing well. Wales never do well in the Autumn Internationals and then do well in the Six Nations. France are playing well. The only team that's not playing well, really, are England.
Italy put up a spirited effort to go down by 2 points.
The scrimmaging in that game must have been phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, I bet it was brilliant. But yeah, we're going to have to talk about... I mean, in fact, I'll tell you what, before we get to England, we'll get to England in just a second, but you mentioned France playing well, And I love this, and I want to play it for you. This is... Did you see Teddy Thomas's try?
Yes.
Oh, wow, what a
try. Is this the Renter squad game versus Club 1830?
That terrible, terrible bit, a couple of tackles from a couple of Aussie players. But Teddy Thomas broke through two tackles, stepped one of the Aussie wingers, gassed him around the outside and scored a brilliant individual try. I just love the commentary in French.
Son vis-à-vis slipper, il y a une revanche aussi à prendre par rapport au test
extérieur.
Oh yeah, you have to call it as you did last week, Phil. Teddy Thomas. You wouldn't want to be sat in the couple of rows in front of that guy. You'd get gobbed all over. But brilliant commentary. I love that. Didn't understand a word of it, but I got the vibe.
That was like watching the Welsh commentary. And I've never said this before. I'll say it again. The Welsh commentary during the Lions tour when the Wales only had one player playing. And it was like, it'd go Wilkinson, Henderson, O'Driscoll. David Jones! Diane! Wilkinson. David Jones, then.
David Jones, yeah.
The guy from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Now, Teddy Thomas, he's scored four tries in two tests, two starts. So very, very good start with ball in hand. If I was watching that from like any of the other Six Nations teams' perspective, I'd be quite pleased at his try-scoring rate because under the high ball, positioning-wise, defensively, he's a bit of a passenger and a bit of a liability.
Well, do you know what they've done in the NFL? I think there might be some scope here for rugby. This is not a joke.
I can't wait to hear what you're going to say by the fact you started it with, this is not a joke.
Yeah.
Go on.
They've basically banned tackling in practice. Can you believe that? They've banned tackling in practice.
No, they always had the red... They always put the red shirts on the quarterback, players would know not to touch them.
I mean, I've not exactly told the truth there. They've actually limited contact practices, but it works out that you cannot...
What across the NFL?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mandated, you're not allowed to play contact in training. You've got, like, say, five sessions a year when you can do it.
Imagine Richard Cockerell and Leicester Tigers when you hear some of the stories of their training sessions. Imagine that.
But I mean, they might have a fit team if they ban contact in training.
But imagine if they implemented that rule in rugby. You basically have a squad full of Teddy Thomas.
Teddy Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting. Mm.
Players trying to tackle people by brushing their shoulders. Brush the dirt off your shoulder there, sir.
But a wonderful, wonderful kit brilliant result.
I think the kit is not as nice as the last one. Lovely kit.
I love the last one and I love this French kit.
I loved the last one. I thought the last one was the best kit in rugby. I think this one is even better.
No, it's not.
I don't know. It's different. It's like, you know, it's like that whole when you have a scene in a movie where someone goes, oh, you know, I've cheated on you. What was it like? It was different. Was it better? It was different. Not better, not worse. It's just different. But it's wonderful.
It's a little bit space agey, isn't it?
Oh, see, I think it's still it's different, but it still has some retro feel.
I appreciate the two tones of blue. I like that.
It's lovely blue.
Do you know what? It's these new Adidas kits, and I tell you what I don't like about them. I don't like the metallic badges, and the All Blacks have done the same. I know they say, the half blacks, as they are now. they've got these like metallic badges.
I just think everything, Adidas have absolutely nailed every detail on it. I think it's perfect.
On the other hand, we were talking about how good things are on the pitch for Scotland. Off the pitch, they are bottom of the international league for stash.
Oh,
by some distance.
What was that? What happened? I mean, I know the Murrayfield lights were out. I just assumed that you know they were out throughout the entire stadium. They put on the wrong kit for some under 12 team.
I just don't get it.
No, they have the normal shorts and then the red tops. The red tops aren't that offensive, but as a whole combination,
it doesn't work.
Yeah,
baby steps. Let's get the rugby sorted out first, and then let's ditch Macron.
Just going back to the France game, France looked excellent. Incredible physicality from the forwards, and the defence was really impressive, but willing to play. And everyone, I think you tweeted, Tim, that Benjamin Kayser had more attacking intent than the whole England backline.
Yeah.
And they really did. The biggest problem for France was they blew up after 60 minutes,
yeah.
which is something that we've mentioned yeah. on previous podcasts, their conditioning and fitness isn't as good as the other teams, and that's what let Australia back
it's
into
obviously,
it.
Obviously a bit of a change for Philippe Saint-André, because at Sale Sharks and you know with Toulon and with France, he's been very, very, very pragmatic, and
he's been very boring.
Very boring, actually, if you want to put it like that. Yeah, really boring game plan. And he's obviously letting the shackles off, which might lead us on to talking about England. And who have now lost 5 straight games.
Correct.
Fact. They haven't beaten South Africa in 12 years.
Fact. What?
I think...
8 years, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'll
defact that. Defact it.
It's 12 matches, but it's
12 eight, matches, you're right.
It's 8
matches.
Years.
I should have got... What am I doing facts for? In fact, come on, Phil, give us some facts. Phil's facts.
You've exhausted them all, Tim.
Hold on a minute. Come on, Phil's facts. Let's have Phil's facts. Have you got any other facts, Phil? Just rugby facts.
Yeah, I've got one from this week that was kindly submitted by Derry Gassman.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting. So the Ireland-Georgia game, he tweeted to us, of the 42 Georgian players who are registered with French clubs, 28 of them, that's 67% of them, are props.
Wow!
Fact.
I think that gives an indication of the average kind of physical dimensions of a Georgian male.
Awesome.
Hang on. How do they scrimmage against Ireland?
Well, they won a few penalties.
Wow.
Yeah, they scrimmaged really well. Mm. Their first half was incredible. Their defence was so ferocious.
While we're just doing Phil's facts, as you said, Derry Gassman got in touch on Twitter. Phil, as you know, loves a fact, loves a stat. If you have got a rugby fact for Phil's facts, we will always credit you if you send them in. So tweet to @rugbypodcast on Twitter and let's have it for next week's rugby facts. Craig Doyle on BT Sport gave a good fact when talking about Fonella, or the new London Welsh back row player who played today. He said he's 21 and a half stone, the same weight as the average baby elephant.
Fact.
good fact.
So you know, if you're thinking of submitting a fact, know this, we will not check them. So submit anything you want.
Yeah. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast is the best rugby podcast around.
Fact.
There you go. I've just submitted one as well.
That is definitely a fact.
That's been verified. We've triple checked our facts on that one.
Exactly.
So to England then. What do we do? What do we do? You're a Welshman, JB.
But what did I tell you? What did I tell you last week? Stuart Lancaster is a very competent coach. He's a good coach, and if he was in a club team, he would constantly have a team near or around the playoffs, but he wouldn't win the playoffs. And that's just what you got. And you've got
so he's like Dean Ryan was for Gloucester.
Are you mental?
Stuart Lancaster
and Rob Shaw are both very competent at their jobs, but they're not the best at them. And that's what you got with England. The mediocrity flows through the team.
I like what Lancaster's done. I think possibly questions do have to be raised, although I don't think we should change the coaching setup.
No, I don't.
Ahead of the World Cup.
I think you should panic, though.
I don't think we should panic.
No, I don't think we should panic.
Oh, you should.
We lost 5 games in a row against the top 2 teams. 4 games against New Zealand, who've only been beaten once in 2 years, and 1 game against South Africa, who are the second best team in the world.
But there's been bright spots in the New Zealand games. I mean, one of them is abysmal, but there's 2 real, real good efforts. But this performance was woeful.
Well, this is the worrying thing for me, that the first game against New Zealand in the summer, we played brilliantly with a depleted squad. We played really, really well and only just lost it with that tap-and-go try in the last minute. And in the first half of the first game in the autumn internationals, we started off really well. And it just seems to be starting brightly and then fading, going downhill.
Do you feel that they're trying to manufacture rugby rather than just letting the boys play?
The last couple of games that Owen Farrell has been... like everything he's done has been really telegraphed.
Shut the front door.
What's happened to Danny Kerr?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing no one predicted. No one would think Danny Kerr suddenly would become kind of tight and predictable and not sparky or elusive like he is for Harlequins and has been for a long time.
Do you know who I think?
He seemed uptight as a player as well.
I think one of the best of that is Dickinson. It's Dixon or Dixon? Dixon, sorry. I'm not saying he's the most technical passer or anything like that.
Well, Ben Youngs, when he came on, looked good in both games. And
I think Ben Youngs is the option.
George Ford, when he came on in both games, has looked good. And also, Billy Vunipola. Actually, when you look at it, I'd go the three most disappointing players for England for me were 8, 9, 10.
Yes.
On Saturday. And that's the pivotal part of a team.
Agreed. I really rate Billy Vunipola. Yeah. I think he's being asked to do too much carrying because we touched on it last week. Jay hit the nail on the head. That having Tom Wood and Robshaw, who are both 6.5s, you're not having that extra carrier in the back row.
Yeah.
You do need someone who's going to truck it up.
Exactly.
But Owen Farrell, he didn't fix anyone with his running game. He was never going to fix a man, look to make a break, anything like that. And all his little passes back inside were just so telegraphed. They just ready, gave a couple of hospital passes to Watson and to May and to some of the forward runners back inside. And I like Farrell, but he's very rusty going into the tournament. He only had a couple of games.
Did I not say this last week?
I think we all said that before the tournament.
I'm sure this is what I said verbatim. But, I also think there's some merit in Lancaster. And I think being loyal is fine. And he's a very loyal coach. And I think that's a commendable quality. But I think it's more important in the club game than it is in the international game, where you just want your best players. And also, it kind of affects the people on the outside thinking, what do I need to play in this team? If you're Jonathan Joseph, aren't you thinking, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Well, what he needs to do is go and have a really good performance, as he did against Newcastle.
And scored a great try.
Mike Ford, after the game, said he's done everything he can.
Exactly.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who they do go for in the centres, because they're going to change it up against Samoa, categorically. But it's whether they keep Eastman, who's playing pretty well, bring Ford in, and then...
Ford, Eastman, Joseph, Bath axis.
You possibly question the defence with those three there, though.
Mm.
Burrell, who... played back, put him at 13, and then you shore up the defence, and you've also got someone who can be a real hard gainline carrier to get those yards to give him some forward momentum.
I think the best centre partnership England have had for some time were when Burrell and 12 Trees were sparking.
In the Six Nations this year.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good together.
Yeah, they did play well.
One observation I made when I was watching the game, and I was watching the game with both the Wales game on, and Wales were not good, and England, but even as poor as Wales were, and I know they were playing Fiji and England were playing South Africa, and that will have a difference. But whenever I seem to see other teams play, the ball gets passed. I just don't... I know that sounds like a really silly, obvious, stupid comment to make, but I actually don't think England pass. They just don't move the ball.
Apart from 10 and 12, they let 10 and 12 do all the passing and everyone else just... Carries hard, yeah.
And I think I tweeted it on Saturday when I was watching the game. The England forwards, just it's almost instinctive. As soon as they catch it, it goes under one arm, and the non-carrying arm comes out in a fend fashion. There's very little ambition to run into space and create a half break and offload.
And that's exactly what I mean by manufacturing rugby. Are they trying to say, oh, you have an offload here, then we'll play a pattern there, and then we'll carry again?
And what's New Zealand's basic pattern from slow ball? They do at least two passes.
Yeah.
You hardly ever see a New Zealander catching from nine and running straight into contact. It's always a second pass. And quite often, that happens right at the gain line.
Yeah. But England forwards did try it for the first 10, 15 minutes. But they dropped it like five times in a row. And so they were trying it. So they had to go back almost to that rugby by numbers because their skills weren't good enough.
This is where my rule change of eliminating the knock-on would have benefited both Wales and England fans.
But Tim, the one thing you tweeted about was Atwood's break. Mm. Great break. Showed a good turn of pace. And he blew that big time. He drifted. He carried it under one arm, so he couldn't offload, and he took contact. So it was basically three of them running at Habana in the 15-yard channel, and then with Willie LaRue behind. So it's a three-on-one followed by a two-on-one. All Atwood has to do is run at Habana's inside shoulder, fix him, and pop 2 yards before contact. Yeah. And that would have been a cert try. Mm. But he didn't. And Atwood's playing really well at the moment, but that was a big mistake.
And you know that Kieran Reid would be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you,
Kieran Reid probably would have dummied and gone under the sticks.
Yeah,
but
probably.
He could have done it whatever he wanted and they would have scored.
But this is where it comes down to it. And this is where I kind of don't think it's a panic station. I don't think it's a crisis. If you look at the way World Cups are won, and this is something we've said before on the podcast, if World Cups are won by a couple of points in tight games, often by someone who kicks, or taking one chance to score a try. And the difference is, when England did win a World Cup, apart from Benkei dropping the ball over the try line, they which again that could have haunted us for for 11 years
exactly.
But that's the sort of error that costs you World Cup matches, and England are making too many of those type of errors.
So what would agreed. You what would you suggest they change?
I wouldn't change a great deal. I wouldn't actually make many changes in the forwards, actually.
Would you like to have another ball carrying back row?
I wouldn't mind having that option, but I think that the midfield is difficult because you haven't had Tuilagi, you haven't had Burrell available.
But they've got Eastman and they've got this awesome attacking Bath core, and they could bring in Ewers, they could bring in Waldron, they could bring in all sorts of carriers. I mean, not saying those are the answers, but there's loads of options out there. I don't know. The corporate England team, because they've got so much corporate psycho language going on now.
I think not a lot,
the average.
Not a lot of changes needed. I think Kerr definitely stays. It'd be interesting to have a good couple of games for Ford.
Yeah.
And then either Tuilagi or Burrell, they're both ahead of Barrett in the pecking order, but they've both been injured.
Mm.
And I think that will make a big difference, because Barrett will run hard, but he won't make the same indents that either
but
of those two.
But isn't Barrett ahead of Eastman in the pecking order? They'll just move him in and Eastman out?
No, I don't think so.
I think, I don't know.
They like having a ball player like Eastman or like 12 Trees.
I think 12 Trees is the go-to man.
I think England's forwards will smash Australia.
Mm.
Because they had the measure of South Africa and of New Zealand actually up front.
Yeah, and when that 10-minute period when they scored the two tries, albeit Matt Field was off, they looked awesome, really good. Just one point on that. After the South Africa try, so England got two tries back to level it up at 20-all, and South Africa immediately scored. And Owen Farrell, what we needed was a good, solid restart. Owen Farrell put it straight out, big mistake. And Stuart Barnes gave some incredible analysis.
Please, I love Stuart Barnes' analysis.
Well, his analysis was, well, he might have messed that up, but just look at this. 2 minutes earlier, when England have got this driving maul, he runs in and adds his weight to the driving maul and shifts it an extra 3 metres,
wow.
Which allows Morgan to spin off and score the try. So Stuart Barnes' analysis of England's ball playing 10 is that he can add his weight to a driving maul that's already marching forward.
He says something incredible stuff. His breakdown of Sam Burgess' move was just unbelievable. I recommend anyone who enjoys laughing, go and read it.
That is good. Just one thing, while we mentioned in South Africa, did anyone see Juice Van Vesthuizen on Rugby Tonight?
No,
I didn't.
Flipping brilliant. Go and see that online, I would. Spend a few minutes having a look at that. It's awesome. He's got motor neurone disease, and he's got a J9 foundation, and it was brilliant hearing Matt Dawson and Juice Van Vesthuizen talking to each other. They had loads of battles over the years.
Mm.
I just loved one phrase, and I went, geez, what a bloke. A quote from Juice Van der Vesthuizen: life is not measured by the amount of years lived, but by the amount of memories created. So, like, bigger than rugby, more important than that. I just thought that was flipping awesome on BT Sport. And it was a great chat, and worth checking out. There was some Premier... Oh, actually, before we move away from the international rugby, we should also mention the IRB Player of the Year nominations.
Oh, yes.
So who would be your selection for Player of the Year for South Africa? Dwayne Vermaelen and Willie LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
For New Zealand, it was Brody Retallick and...
Julian Surveyor.
Not Surveyor.
And there's a brilliant video knocking about, by the way, of Julian Surveyor's high school rugby highlights. He's a freak.
Ooh, God.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
And the one Northern Hemisphere entrant in the shortlist, Johnny Sexton. So of that shortlist, who would you pick as your IRB Player of the Year from the rugby you've seen?
Weirdly, none of these names really... I mean, it sounds silly to say none of them stand out. They all stand out. But there's no one who's running away with it.
Yeah, not like a Kieran Reid last year.
Yeah. I'm surprised Kieran Reid hasn't won it again. Why is he not in the running?
he did miss probably about 8 weeks.
Oh, someone told us about this.
What?
It's on the WhatsApp group. About how they calculate it. It's things to do with appearances as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Number of appearances count towards...
Something like that.
You have to have a minimum number of appearances to qualify for an international player of the Year award.
I didn't know that.
Mm, yeah.
Very good.
On the rugby I've seen, I think Dwayne Vermaelen's had an awesome year.
Yeah.
And I think another number eight would be... he'd be a fitting winner of it. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
In Super Rugby.
And number eight's they're all pretty cool. It's a pretty cool position too. No one likes wingers winning it.
Surveyor... has done everything he's asked of him and more.
Yeah. He runs in tries at half pace. That's all he does.
He looks good doing it, though.
He looks great doing
it.
He
does look excellent doing it.
When you've got Sonny Bill offloading everywhere.
Yeah.
Fakatawa. And that, by the way, those are probably the second choice centres. You're going to score lots of tries.
Yes.
I would go with the number 8, Vermaelen.
Yeah, I think that would be a fair shot.
There you go. He is the winner of the IRB Player of the Year.
Fact.
Done. Dusted. That was the award ceremony right there. He's been crowned. Right, so international rugby to one side for a minute. And it was the return of the Premiership. And there were some pretty tasty fixtures. I would just like to point out, as well as predicting that France would beat Australia, I also predicted Exeter Chiefs would win at Franklin's Gardens.
So did I. I think.
I did not. I thought Northampton, even with the players missing, would have enough.
It's a great victory.
Yeah, it's a hell of a victory. And toot.
Scored two tries.
60-yard try for Thomas Waldron.
That's the kind of thing, right, that when you hear, oh, Thomas Waldron scored, and you instantly joke, oh, was it a 60-yard try? Yeah, it was. What?
Incredible.
That was a terrible diesel sound effect horn. Hold on. Here we go.
That's perfect. Have they installed that yet at Exeter?
Sandy Park, they need to. They need to get that done. He's loving it at the minute. He's just loving life. It was a fantastic victory. Oh, sorry, go on.
I've got another little story for you.
Oh, go on, Jay.
Yeah.
Hold on, I need a little story time type music. I need some music for a story. Hold on, I think I've got just the thing. No, that doesn't feel right.
Are we recording a John Lewis Christmas advert?
Go on.
Oh, wow. It's not that kind of story, but still. So, I went down to Bath this week to watch the Barbarians play Combined Services.
This is the perfect music for a Barbarian story. The traditional...
Okay, fine. And
touring team.
Chris Budgeon was there, and someone had a little chat with Chris Budgeon. And if you don't know who Chris Budgeon is, he's a club legend for Exeter.
And Northampton.
And Northampton.
Northampton before, played the championship with them. I think he was in the Forces, and I think
he was
originally a New Zealander.
New Zealander, yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'm not entirely sure.
Agree with all of that.
Good.
And he's also got no neck.
Got no neck. But he was comparing to someone who's someone's chatting to him, the culture between Exeter and Northampton. He says, in Exeter, all of the academy guys and all of the senior guys all train together, play same patterns, train together, work out together, same programmes. In Northampton, he said it was almost weird how much they're separated out. So you've got a first team changing room and the junior players will finish their training and they need an ice bath. They're not allowed to walk through the changing room. They have to exit, go outside and come back through a fire escape to get an ice bath.
Wow.
So two very successful clubs, two completely different cultures.
So what's the theory of Northampton? Like, you have to earn your right to be in that first team dressing room, and it's like a big...
Basically, yes.
It's like a massive thing to be able to be let in.
Yeah.
So, and both ways, you can see the merits.
Yeah, but from what I hear, Exeter is a really nice place to play if you're a player. Like, the culture and what Baxter's done, very, very impressive.
You can't argue with Jim Mallander's processes
either. No, you
can't,
can you?
Yeah, you surprised me about Northampton, but just simply because of the number of academy lads that they've brought through, certainly the last few years, like the Wallers, like Haywood, like Tom Collins and Stevenson, who scored at the weekend, and Jamie Elliott, players like that.
And who's the young fullback that they have?
Wilson.
James
Wilson,
it. The young England fullback.
Well, interesting. Like I remember seeing a programme about England, or a behind-the-scenes thing about the England rugby setup, and one of the players, I forget who it was, I think it might have been Danny Kerr, said, it is so amazing the way the culture and the way that they are looked after and all the little fringe benefits and everything about being an England thing. It's so good that it makes you so hungry to be part of it. And I wonder if maybe Jim Mallander's kind of approach is, you know, you have to earn this.
Yeah, it's interesting how they're both working in different ways and they're both successful.
Well, I've heard, like I said, like the Dean Ryan type management style is very, very harsh. I've heard that a few times. I'm not sure that the overly harsh thing works though for professionals, especially when you're getting paid a lot of money and you're very employable elsewhere. In fact, if anything, you want to be out of your contract. Go to the highest bidder.
To the Premiership, then other fixtures worth mentioning. I suppose Sale Sharks put in a put in a good shift at the AJ Bell Stadium. With an attendance of like 4,000, the lowest ever attendance at the AJ Bell Stadium.
Was it
the lowest ever in the AJ Bell?
At the AJ Bell Stadium, the people that did turn up were treated to a really good performance. They took apart London Irish's forward pack.
Rugby League are doing this now. They're building these soulless, like IKEA-type stadiums,
just so they can hold the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
In Huddersfield,
and they make it so they qualify for their license, their franchise license.
But a good result on the pitch. Food for thought for Irish, who just looked not interested, to be honest. You two have both been burgled in the last week.
We have,
yeah, we have.
And I think Mark McCall knows how you feel, so I think he will feel that Sarri's was a victory was stolen.
We were stolen. We should have won that game.
Whoa. That's far too loud.
Yeah, that last scrum arguably could have gone the other way. The one for the penalty.
Yeah.
Was it to make it 21-all?
Owen Williams' kick?
Yeah. It was an Owen Williams' kick.
Yeah.
Rumour has it he was very close to being called up last week. Very
when,
close indeed.
James Hook was called up instead.
Yeah. Straight shoot up between him and Hook.
But let's focus for a second on how good Wasps looked against London Welsh.
I mean, if there's no one playing in front of you, you're always going to look good. It's like a training ground run through.
I wonder how many more scores they could have had if they were in a training ground run through.
80 minutes unopposed training, lads.
I don't actually. If you were doing a training run, you wouldn't score that many points. You'd probably get bored and go in.
Ashley Johnson just looked great once again, and I'm thinking with his sizeable rump that we tend to talk about on the podcast. He could do a great thing for the sport of rugby union by doing a magazine shoot with a glass of champagne on his ass, like Kim Kardashian. He's surely got the only backside in the world that could rival the sheer size and magnitude of Kim Kardashian's rump.
Yeah, I'm not sure his waist is quite the same size.
His chest is probably similar. Take one for the team, Ashley. Get your kit off and get on the front of a magazine, please.
Now, London Welsh. when do you think London Welsh do their captain's run?
Interesting question. So the game was on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
When they've managed to get them out of the depression clinic. How bad must it be?
Apparently they all live like miles away from where they play. So they all train. They all have to travel to train. So they only train Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. And they have an option to do a captain's run on a Thursday if the senior players decide to do it. And they decide usually not to do it. And they have their captain's run on a Saturday or the day before or the day of the game.
Wow.
That, I believe, is true.
Here's Justin Burnell, the coach of London Welsh, after the 71-7 defeat to Wasps. He said it was his toughest day at the club.
And if you're a coach, you're in agony, aren't you? Everything at the moment. What do you say to these players to get them back on the horse, back training, back fighting?
Yeah, that's it. You know, you can't say much now. You know, you just got to get back in. We obviously back in tomorrow morning as coaches. You look through it. You got to constantly look for positives. I think, you know, yourself being a former international player, that it'd be quite easy to keep beating people with a stick. You know, you just got to look at all the different permutations within the sort of your training and obviously your sort of the psychological aspect of how to pick these people up, you know.
He says you've got to look for positives. And it must be hard for Justin Burnell to look for positives. I think we should give him some help. So I'm also saying, if you can tweet in, please, some help for London Welsh, Justin Burnell. What positives are there for London Welsh? So one just straight off the bat is, I really dislike London Welsh's kit, but a positive is, it's not as bad as Scotland's. there you go, Justin Burnell.
Tom May isn't the best centre in the league, but he's very handsome.
He is handsome.
Very handsome centre.
Yeah. Any others?
They did score a try.
They've got a very nicely creosoted fence.
Old Deer Park is lovely, actually.
Old Deer Park is incredible. They should play there, but no, they want some they want an empty stadium. I reckon they wouldn't pack it out. There's not really much to pack up, but it's a great place to play rugby.
Yeah.
I've played there a couple of times.
Have you?
Yeah.
How did the half live?
I do like it. You see, John Inverdale's quite often in the clubhouse. He's a London Welsh fan.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, John Inverdale's an Isha fan.
He used to when I played at London Welsh.
Really?
He was in London Welsh that clubhouse, the little turncoat.
He played for Isha fourth team, and he was having a sing song one of the last times I played at Isha.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah,
knowledge, Phil.
Good knowledge. Any other positives for London Welsh?
They don't have to play the All Blacks anytime soon.
They're not going to play the All Blacks. That's a positive.
Oh, they're not in the Guinness Pro 12. Mind you, they're not going to be in the Aviva for much longer, so...
They're not going to be in the Aviva for much longer. That's a positive.
They can win some games away.
It'll all be over soon, boys.
At Moseley or somewhere like that. Maybe it'll be a tough game for them, actually, playing away at Moseley.
Anything else you can cheer up London Welsh with? At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We talked about burglaries. How does it feel both being burgled?
Phil got robbed and I got robbed. And I got robbed third time in 2 years. I feel like I'm buying electronic gifts just for the thieves.
Mine was my first ever time.
What was it?
I got mugged when I was about 17. But
did you?
Yeah.
Did you get mugged?
I've never been mugged.
I got mugged when I was on crutches.
No.
I'd
played rugby. I think it was against Waterloo on the Sunday at like Colts level, and I would sprain my ankle or something like that, and I was hobbling into college on the Monday or the Tuesday morning on crutches. And three guys came up and mugged me at knife point.
What?
I'm on crutches. You don't really need a knife.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, that's well, 15 years ago.
Guns for show, knives for pro. That's what they say.
But yeah, we both got...
What did they
burgled.
Get?
They got my laptop that I'm normally here doing the pod with.
This is the burglary, not the mugging.
This is the burglary, yeah. Yes.
And didn't you have all the fappening pictures on there?
There was some...
I downloaded them on his machine.
There was some
yeah.
artistic photography on there.
Yeah, there was some mature content on there.
Well, okay.
And then the police are geniuses.
Oh, yeah.
So I explained that on the sofa in my room, there was a laptop, and then next to it, there was a...
So they went upstairs and
upstairs.
All around the house. Wow.
Yeah, there was someone in the house at the time as well.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So they went
in the house and they went upstairs.
The guy was in the house on the second floor, and they went in basically every other room.
That is brazen.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was half six at night as well. It's not even late at night.
Wow.
But on the sofa there was a laptop, and then next to it there was a brown leather holdall that was also missing. And the police, when I explained that to them, they're like, I think I can piece together what's happened here. They've picked up the laptop. And they've put it into the brown leather holdall.
See, I would have thought they'd have just folded up the bag and put it, you know, wedged it in the laptop.
In the laptop, yeah.
It makes sense, but no, that's why we pay them the big bucks and give them a massive pension.
thanks, Columbo.
But I thought the guys that robbed my house must have been mental, because they came in and not one of my 62 rugby shirts had been touched. They had just overlooked my Gosford second team shirt. Oof. And then went downstairs and my Wrexham under-9s prop shirt, no, sorry, under-14s prop shirt, hadn't been touched. Amazing.
And we've both got quite an expensive shoe collection.
Yeah, we have. Not interested.
One each, yeah. Untouched, thank God. Yeah,
that all would... electronics. Yeah. So small-minded, these burglars.
I know.
They did get an Armani watch of mine as well. Scumbags.
So, yeah.
If you see a nice brown laptop that's got lots of egg chaser material, nothing else, nothing dodgy on it, can you please report it to the authorities?
Or don't, actually.
Yeah.
Just throw it in a swimming pool.
Just do a system reset.
Yeah.
Format the disc and then report it to the authorities. Yeah. Right, listen, I suppose we're going to have to get talking about this weekend that's coming up.
We've got a quiz as well.
Oh, we've got a quiz. I'll tell you what, let's do your quiz first, Phil. Come on then, Phil.
Okay, I've got two questions and then two little lists for you.
Perfect defeat.
Question one.
Yeah.
Mammoth South African second row, Eben Etzebeth,
yeah,
has had some specially made dumbbells built for him.
Wow.
How much do they weigh? So these are non-standard, because obviously dumbbells come standard sizes up to a certain point, and they're too small for
Mr.
Etzebeth.
I'm just thinking of the rack in.
So it's in
the gym.
On what? The rack on who?
On Dwayne Vermaelen if he's bench pressing.
So it's in kilograms, I want your answer. Second question. One player has played in a record 5 World Cups. I'll give you a clue. He's a Pacific Islander.
Oh, was not expecting that.
Who is he?
Five World Cups?
Five World Cups.
That's 20 years.
It's actually 16 years. Because your first World Cup would be zero.
All right, Phil.
Sorry.
Hang on. Yeah, but presumably his first game wasn't in a World Cup.
Well,
you got to have a bit of experience behind you before that.
He was the youngest player in his first World Cup.
Which team?
He was
two teams.
Pacific Island team.
Played two teams, right?
All right, come on. I've got an answer. I'm guessing. I'm writing up. So let's do the before we get onto the list. Let's do the two questions then. So JB, hold up your. I'll hold up mine at the same time, and you'll hold up your kilograms.
Oh, one of you's got it right.
I've gone for 75 kilograms.
Jay, you have gone for
70.
And point goes to Tim Cocker.
Yeah, no way. I got it on the head.
75 kilograms, which the tweet that I read this from pointed out that is only 8 kilograms lighter than Kyle Eastman.
That's brilliant. That's an awesome fact. I'm now writing down my answer for the...
Oh, you see my answer?
I don't think you could have read that. I couldn't read it.
I have my answer anyway. Would you hold it up at the same time?
Yeah.
So Phil can't... So we can see...
Oh, so Tim, who have you gone for?
Nicky Little.
And
oh, that's a great guess.
And JB?
Pat Lam.
Pat Lam.
I can tell you, neither of you have it correct.
Oh, okay.
It was the chiropractor, Brian Lima.
Oh, damn.
Right.
Now,
still 1-0 then.
Well, no, that invalidates the whole thing, mate. You were wrong.
Now, two little lists.
Yeah.
So, Wales played Fiji this weekend.
Yeah.
They also played them in the World Cup in 2007. Mm-hmm. Four players played in both games.
Oh, good.
Give me the four players.
What, four players played for Fiji?
For Wales in 2007.
Oh, I call... This is ridiculous. We've got a Welshman over there. I don't know.
Should be general rugby knowledge, Tim.
So four players played at the weekend and 4 years ago.
7 years.
7 years ago.
Seven years ago.
Yeah. 2007. When Fiji beat them to go through to the quarterfinals.
Oh, okay.
Maybe him.
I'm just trying to think of who played for Wales for a long time.
Pretty settled squad.
I've got five names on my list. I need to delete one of them. I'm going to take him out. Right, I've got my four.
Jay, have you got your four? You've got four names written down.
Yeah, I'm happy with these four.
Should we say one at a time and you can tell us if we're right or not? My first one on my list is Jamie Roberts.
Incorrect.
Jamie Roberts is incorrect. Beardmore, first one.
Gethin Jenkins.
Tim, have you got that?
I have got Gethin Jenkins on my list.
Gethin Jenkins is correct.
Of course it's
one
correct.
Point each. Tim, your third player now.
Phillips.
Have you got Phillips?
I do indeed have Phillips.
Phillips is correct.
Woo.
2 points each.
I've only got one more name on my list.
And
Bradley Davies is who I picked.
Oh, terrible choice. Adam Jones.
He's not in the squad.
Oh. Adam Jones wasn't in the squad.
Yeah.
I've got one more player, though.
He does have one. Jay does
no,
have.
No, no, no. What's Bradley Davies?
Bradley Davies was not in there. So Jay can tie. You can draw.
No, I have drawn.
Because the overall quiz.
You can draw the overall quiz. You can win this particular round.
All right, let me just reconsider my...
No, you've already...
It's got to be the one you've got written down.
Richard Hibbard is incorrect.
Yeah! Who was the final name?
You're missing two names.
Hold on, let me think about this.
Hook? No.
Charteris hasn't been around for that long, has he?
Charteris would be a great shout.
Think of the same position as Charteris.
I said Bradley Davies.
Alan Wynne-Jones.
He came on.
Yeah. He was in the squad at the weekend. And James Hook.
Oh.
He started, I think, outside centre in 2007.
God damn it!
Was he an unused replacement?
He was number 22 on the bench because he got drafted in
stupid
last week.
Quiz.
Oh, get in! Even with a fix to try and get JB to win, I still managed to pull it off.
So I have got another little round, but we'll save it for next week.
Because
I think
I'm happy with that as it is.
Draw a line in it there.
I'm happy with that as it is. Let's look ahead to the rugby this weekend. Italy, we'll rattle through some of these international matches. Italy play South Africa. You'd think that would be a regulation win for South Africa.
Yes, South Africa will probably make a few changes.
Yeah.
I mean, they did make four or five changes from the Ireland to England game, but yeah, South Africa to win that.
Scotland-Tonga.
Mm.
Scotland.
Yeah.
It's their last game. So they're not going to change too much. I wouldn't have thought though.
Tonga had a decent win against Team USA, didn't they? Yeah. I think it was 40-12.
Scott Lavelle captaining.
Was he captain?
He was captain. Mm. Yeah.
Good lad.
I have to correct myself from earlier. Ireland play Australia.
And Wales play New Zealand, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
so Ireland Australia should be a good game.
Really well matched, I think.
Yep.
And I imagine Ireland, based on the way they played against South Africa, will win that.
No.
Yeah, I think they'll bring it home.
Yeah.
Wales, New Zealand.
Wales, do you think Ireland will win as well?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You're too depressed about the thought of your boys facing
Wales,
New Zealand.
Wales, New Zealand.
If we're all fit.
That will be a full Millennium Stadium.
Yeah. If that all Wales boys are fit and they've got the first choice selection and the Millennium Stadium's packed, we're going to lose by 5 or 6.
I think that's fair enough.
I think New Zealand will win.
Yeah,
but
between 5 and 15 points.
Yeah, even if we open and shut the roof, depending on when it advantages and when it doesn't, we're still going to lose badly.
New Zealand have got a 5-meter line out. Open the roof, get it open.
People with hose pipes.
In terms of the stash, I dislike Wales' stash as well. I just want to make as an aside. The Under Armour,
I like the Wales kit a lot actually.
Mm. I don't like the is it Admiral?
It's not my sponsor. Mind you, everyone in Cardiff is employed by Admiral. Everyone.
But
like 12,000 people or something ridiculous.
They don't need to advertise.
My missus's cousin is employed by Admiral in Cardiff.
Oh,
yeah.
Press your fact button, Tim. Please press that button. That is brilliant.
England, Samoa. Hopefully, do you think England will make some changes? George Ford will get a start.
Yeah, I think they'll make probably close to 10 changes, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
They'll really have to, and to give some of the boys a rest, because you've seen like New Zealand with a slightly easier game against Scotland. They've obviously changed it up, so England will have to.
And France, Argentina.
France. Ah, we get to see that lovely kit again.
Argentina.
I do like Argentina's
Argentina.
Kit as well.
Yeah, I just got a feeling about that one.
Argentina to you're thinking too much about the 2007 World Cup where they beat them twice.
I love that World Cup. It was one of my favourite World Cups.
That was a great World Cup.
Juan Martin Hernandez just kicking it as high as
he
possibly could.
They made so many like ridiculous claims about his kicks. Like all like the 12 different types of kicks that he had. It never really existed. Like the banana kick.
They did, didn't they? There is also more Aviva Premiership matches. And we'll have to have a quick glance at the Pro 12 as well in a minute. Mm. Quinns against Sale.
Got to be Quinns.
I think Sale. I think... Quinn's got Danny Kerr and nothing.
No.
Well, they had a great victory against Gloucester. They really did do well to come back.
And their forwards.
But Gloucester aren't anything to shout about either.
Quinn's forwards are maturing nicely.
Sale in the autumn internationals always do well because they lose the least amount of players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Quinn's will still have just enough in their armoury, though.
No Rob Shaw, no Marlon, no Kerr. No Yard. No Brown.
Yeah. But their scrums, actually, if anything, looked more solid with Lambert coming in and adding his extra weight.
Yeah.
And their driving maul, their second driving maul try against Gloucester, was from 40 or 50 yards.
Well, a load of driving mauls, actually. Sale had had a really, really long one that got a penalty try.
But that they rumbled it as a line out on virtually the halfway line, and they rumbled it under the posts. So they've gone diagonally for 40 or 50 yards. It's incredible.
I've not seen that yet. I will have to have a look at
this. I think this one, we're both going for Quinns. JB's going for Sale. Newcastle Gloucester on Friday night, I think. At Newcastle. I think that's an interesting one. Because Newcastle, actually, I've got to give them credit. I wrote them off a little bit at the start of the season. They've shown a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Do you think they're playing with a bit of confidence now as well? Because they're not going down, are they? I mean, there's only one team going down, so that's the end of that.
It takes the pressure off a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, they can play a bit. They can, you know, blood youngsters. They can do all the things the right way now.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say Newcastle will win that at home.
Yeah, me too.
Not a bad shout. I think Gloucester still.
Okay. Exeter Wasps. Wasps look brilliant. Exeter, great victory on the road.
Good game.
Back at Sandy Park. This is a tasty match.
Yeah.
At Sandy Park, give me Exeter. I don't know. I love that Wasps back row.
I'm going to go Exeter at home.
Yeah, I think Exeter at home as well. They're hardly losing anyone from the England internationals.
And next week in the international for England, we think that we'll finally get to see Haskell.
I think so, yeah.
I think he's going to play and play well to keep his place.
Irish against Bath. So it's London Irish East versus London Irish West.
Indeed.
I think London Irish West will win.
Yes, I happen to think that as well.
Yeah, they're both losing quite a few internationals. And you saw that obviously London Irish team is a bit weaker.
And London Irish lost a lot of players to Bath who are then being lost to internationals. So we're going for Bath. Sunday, Saracens play Northampton.
This will be interesting. Both losing a lot of internationals.
And as you say, Northampton will probably lose a couple more. You'd imagine Dixon, Burrell
will probably
get drafted in. I'm going to go for Sarries at Allianz.
Yeah, I think Sarries, the home advantage will tell.
No. Give me the away team.
Northampton. And then, we're all united on the away team. Leicester, how many will they beat London Welsh by?
It's got to be 50. It's going to be more than 50.
Wonder what odds you could get for over 50 points.
I think it'll be...
very, very low. It's going to be over 50.
I think it'll be by 40 points and they'll score 3 tries in front of the fence.
Do you think London Welsh are going to bother training this week? Or just do the captain's run on Saturday?
Captain run 20 minutes before kickoff.
May as well.
It'd be like when you play a touring team and they're all smoking cigarette and a pint 10 minutes before kickoff.
Newsflash, it's not good. It can't be worse, Justin. It can't be.
And there's Guinness Pro 12.
Yes, ooh. Ulster.
I've got to be enthusiastic now about the Pro 12.
Newport Gwent Dragons host Munster. So I'll just go away win.
Munster, yeah.
Connacht play Zebre in the tie of the round.
This one is all about, isn't it? Anyone that tells me I should love it.
Champagne, Connacht.
Connacht are playing well
this year. They are playing very well. Scarlets Glasgow. Oh, Glasgow are losing all their Scotland players, so I'm going to go for Scarlets.
Yeah, Scarlets are simply because Glasgow have lost a good chunk of
their
team.
I literally can't think of anything worse than watching a weakened Glasgow team travel to Scarlets.
Ulster, the Ulster man, stand up for the Ulster man.
The Saracens, isn't it? I thought they stole that from Saracens.
Against Ospreys.
How dare you, JB? Should be a really good game, this.
Ulster will win, yeah.
Yes.
And no games on Saturday, which I like about the Pro 12. They're not having any clashes with international matches, so people can watch the games.
You do know in Wales, everyone stops playing rugby for 3 weeks now. Because it's quite a small population.
Fact.
Yep, fact.
And the TV broadcasters wouldn't have anyone to play the game to.
No, even worse, they would have no one to watch it. Well, in the stadium, sorry. That's why all the clubs shut down, because it's also the reason the regions don't do well. Don't do too well. God, I'm butchering this. Because everyone goes to their local club instead of going to the region, so they don't really support anyone.
Okay.
So that's, it wasn't a fact like I know someone in Admiral. It wasn't anything that interesting.
Cardiff Blues will beat Treviso.
Leinster.
No. Leinster will beat Treviso in Italy.
Nice little trip across to Italy for the Leinster
little
club.
Sojourn to Italy. And Edinburgh will beat Cardiff Blues, do you reckon?
Edinburgh at home.
Cardiff Blues are woeful though, aren't they? They are woeful.
Lions front row.
Will they be available?
Adam Jones and Rees probably will be, won't they?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, they will be. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going
to Cardiff Blues to get an away win.
Yeah, maybe.
On the road up in sunny Edinburgh.
There we go. Enjoy the rugby. Get in touch with us. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We will see you on the next podcast. Enjoy the rugby. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Give us a review on iTunes. We very much appreciate it, and it helps bump us up the charts. And as we're just three lads that are doing this with...
in a professional studio with a professional DJ.
We are, but we're doing it free.
With thousands of pounds worth of equipment.
Yeah, thousands of pounds worth of equipment that
we don't pay for.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, XFM. But we're doing this for no financial gain whatsoever.
We do, don't we? Canterbury stuff. Thank you, Canterbury.
We're doing this
for free, Bill Tom.
We're doing
you got
this.
A job at the BBC for it.
We're doing this for no financial benefit
just for you
whatsoever.
Guys.
We're doing this because we love the game. So, give us a favourable... just give us a review.
Send us some
Whatever.
Send us some stuff, it'd be better.
Oh, yeah, if you're a big company...
Well, Phil needs
I need a new laptop and a new watch.
Or a small company.
Yes.
Or a small company. You just let us know.
You corporate whores. Thank you very much for listening. Give us a review and tell your mates. And we will see you on the next podcast. Enjoy the rugby in a bit.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.